Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I am your host, Elijah Winfrey, and I am excited to bring you a wonderful show today. Each week, I'm joined by my wonderful, very talented co-host, Tony Boucher, and we can't wait to talk to our guest this week. And before I mention more about today's guest, let's get you caught up on the past weekend. I know it was 4th of July last week, and I'm sure people were out of town doing some fabulous things. Tony, what were you doing? What was your weekend like?
Well, you know, I'm still here with family in Wyoming where it's like 90 and 100 degrees, so it's been really hot here. But we had a good, enjoyable 4th, and I've been working on a really exciting technology platform with a startup company. They should be launching fairly soon, and so that's going to be fun to see how that goes. Main focus for me work-wise has been on dealing with that. So how about you, Eli?
Well, my week was, it was decent. Practice is going well. My elbow is coming along. It's like an old story every week on the show as I give these updates on my physical well-being. I'm hanging in there. The reps are increasing, but there are still moments where I have to kind of owl it down, you know, because of the pain level. So things are going good on that front. My charity event, save the date, August 24th. It's on a Friday. My charity event, golf event, returns to Seattle, Washington. I'm excited about that. I'm going to play in it for the first time in about 5 or 6 years. At least it's scheduled to be that way. So hopefully there are no other setbacks and I can actually get out there and play. And we raise money for a good cause. We raise awareness for autism, homelessness, and underprivileged youth. I invite everybody to come out and show your love and support for what we do in the community. If you can't play but you still want to donate, feel free to go to teamwinfrey.org and donate. We're always accepting donations in our ongoing efforts to give back and help families that are in need. So that's been it for me. It's been pretty quiet, you know, other than practice. Family's doing really good. My son is off to a camp today for the next 4 days, and I know he's excited about that. So I can't wait to get those reports on how he's doing and how much fun he's having. So I'm excited for that for him. On to today's show, though. As many of you all know, I visit Springfield annually. I try to go every year. Last year I didn't get to go, but this year I did. And as always, I meet fabulous individuals who are giving back to the community in ways that, you know, I could only imagine. You know, I wish I had come up with some of these concepts and ideas. And today's guest is no different. I had a chance to learn about her through Linda Barboa, who is a fantastic autism advocate. And she sent me a video of our guest, Miss River City, Christina Beard. And I watched the video and was blown away. And then I had a chance to meet her, and we sat down to talk. And I don't know who was more nervous, me or her. You know, I could sit there and listen to her dreams and goals all day long. And it definitely inspired me to continue to do what I do. Christina, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you so much.
Now, how did all of this happen for you, Miss River City? When did that dream start?
So my dream of becoming Miss America, it turned to reality when I was in high school. So I first got involved with the Miss America organization when I was a sophomore in high school and was Miss Mid Missouri's outstanding team. So I competed 1 year and took a couple years off to to come back and compete as a Miss. And so my current title is Miss River City. And I just competed 2 weeks ago for the title of Miss Missouri, and it was such an enjoyable experience. I loved every minute of it, and I can't wait to come back next year, hopefully.
Outstanding. I love it. And becoming an autism advocate, I know as we sat and we talked and I listened to your story and I listened to how powerful it was coming from you. Can you talk a little bit about how that journey began for you?
Originally, when I first competed in the Miss America organization, my platform wasn't even actually around autism. It was actually a crescendo music education. When autism came in, I've always felt passionate and as an advocate, and realizing that was a journey. My brother was diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, at the age of 3, and he has continued to inspire me for the past 18 years and will always continue to inspire me. My platform is called See the Able, Not the Label, and what I've been able to do with that is implement it in K-12. I've worked with Stars for Autism as their college ambassadors, and I've done this throughout media outlets, et cetera. And as an advocate, I've inspired so many others to see the able, not the label, through autism acceptance and education.
Outstanding. And how did you come up with that concept, see the able, not the label? I love it. I wish I had thought of that.
Eli. It's fantastic. I love it too. That was my thought exactly.
It took me a while to come up with it. I actually have T-shirts now that I use to raise money for Children's Miracle Network, because that is a partnership through the Miss America organization, is to raise funds for CMN. I came up with this platform because See the Able, Not the Label, I've witnessed it firsthand throughout my life, and how that is a way we can destigmatize this label. And encouraging others to see the able, not the label, I mean, it just came to me in a dream. This really, what that came to me was in a dream, and that I thought of this, and I was like, this is my platform. This is what I need to be doing. This is what I need to be advocating for, is for others to see abilities first rather than the label.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what are some of the challenges that you faced as an advocate? Has there been any difficult times as you become an advocate and helping, you know, those who are less fortunate or those who need a voice?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, they definitely need a voice. And when I'm visiting schools, there was this one kid when I was visiting Truman Elementary School in Springfield, Missouri. And I was reading the Albert books by Linda Barboa and Jan Luck. And he thought it was kind of weird about some of the characteristics that the character Albert had. And I was like, everyone is different. And we all need to see that we are all unique and we have individual aspects. And for me, advocating for that and for others to see that, it's truly phenomenal, and to be part of that and changing lives one person at a time is truly remarkable.
Absolutely. You know, I and working with other advocates, you know, like my co-host Tony, I've been able to learn a ton when I'm out in the community or when I'm traveling and you know, sitting down talking with you and JR and everyone who is passionate about this. I'm always blown away at the energy that you all bring when you sit down and you talk about ways to help the community become better or giving someone a voice. Tony, I know I've learned a ton from you. What do you take from this conversation at the moment?
I think it's a really important conversation to have, and I just want to tie this in, you know, what Christine's doing, the important work, you know, with the children. It carries on into adulthood. I have a a very brilliant young woman that contacted me just today, as a matter of fact. She has a master's in social work. She's autistic, but she has gotten a master's in social work. So she's smart and capable. And she attempted to get some help from one of her local agencies that provides employment support. And they took her to a workshop and told her that she could assemble Velcro in a workshop at minimum wage for a job. And she's a social worker.
So, wow.
The, you know, the see the able, not the label, really, you know, and Christine says that really rings true for me. I'm thinking about, you know, how we've got to be thinking long-term about this and really shifting people's perspectives. I think it's very powerful. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with assembling Velcro in, you know, in a workshop. But this woman has a passion. She has skills and abilities in social work, and that is what she's been led to do. And we as a community need to support her in doing that, not putting her into something because somebody has a stereotype about what they think, you know, autistic people should or shouldn't be doing. So
absolutely.
So that's, you know, that's where I'm at with it. I really I really think it's one of the most important things we can be doing.
I agree. I agree. Now, Christina, how did you and Linda meet? How did you meet the stars for Autism Crew? And I got to tell you, they're top notch. I mean, the work that they're doing in Missouri, in Springfield, Missouri, I don't know if I've ever seen it at that pace. I mean, they're just going from city to city, getting things done. When did you all meet?
So before I went my freshman year, I currently go to Drury University to study music therapy. And I was looking for things to do with my platform because I was starting to develop it. I was getting a baseline. And so I searched throughout Facebook. I searched throughout the internet, just trying to find someone I can really connect with in the Springfield area to showcase my abilities as an advocate. And I came across their website, and so I just emailed her, "Hi, my name is Christina Beard, and I'm currently going to Drury University, and I'd really like to meet up with your Stars for Autism and be an advocate with you guys." And we met through email, and we met up in July before I started at Drury, and it kind of went from there. And so I've been able to be with them ever since then as their college ambassador.
Outstanding, outstanding. You're definitely doing great things, and you know, I know the future's really bright for you. When is your next competition? Like, what's next for you in this process of becoming Miss America? Which, by the way, you will get there. That I know for sure.
Well, this process is a never-ending journey. It's about growth and development. I will be giving up my title as Miss River City August 12th, unfortunately, but my journey does not stop there once I give up that title. I will continue to do locals. We have to do local preliminaries before we move on to state, and hopefully I will get one of those titles.
Outstanding. I'm confident that you will. I feel your hard work and dedication to who you are and what you want to become going forward. I admire your advocacy. I really do mean that. We need more individuals, you know, like you out here in the community, helping those who are voiceless. There are a ton of people who need advocates. They're in places that we sometimes either gloss over or we don't really look at. And, you know, I try to do my best to do that when I'm in the community and then provide the platform to either have them write a blog so I can post it on my website or to come on the show and tell their story. So, I really admire all of your work. And, you know, this also proves that, you know, if social media is used the right way, these things, these connections, they happen. And they do change the world for the better. I know people will always tell me like that's cliche, but I really believe in that. And you know, this friendship that we started, I'm really, it's another ally that I can call on for support or ideas. So just remember that, you know, you have a presence and it's pretty strong.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, where can the listeners go to learn more about you and your dreams and your goals, you know, in your life? Where can they find you?
Absolutely. So I have a Facebook and an Instagram account, both for Miss River City 2018, Christina Beard. And through that, you'll see how I am showcasing and acknowledging people's abilities, because without that, we are doing a disservice as society. And that's why I am encouraging others to see the able, not the label. And this platform is not just because I compete in the Miss America system. It's my livelihood, and I will continue to grow through this platform. But yes, please check out those pages. It's just Miss River City 2018 on Facebook and Instagram both.
Outstanding. And listen, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. You are always welcome back. You know, Tony and I are very fortunate to find these wonderful individuals who take time out to come on the show. So you always have a spot here. If there's something you want to talk about or get out or promote, please don't hesitate to hook me, to give me a call. We'll definitely make it happen, okay?
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
You're very welcome. We will talk soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Miss River City.
Isn't that neat? Isn't that great?
Very neat.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how there's so many different ways that people can give back. And, you know, I think a lot of times people think of, you know, the pageants as just a place for pretty faces and parading around. And
right.
You can tell that that is not what this is about for Christina. She really is committed to this, you know, this platform that she has developed. And it's her mission. And I think it's just great.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I took from my visit in Springfield. You know, whenever I go there, I always leave with this impression of not just it feels like home, but the people. Like you hear the ideas, you see the work that they're putting in. And it blows me away, you know. And she's definitely, I can tell you, when I sat down and we started to chat and she started to go into detail about being an advocate and why it's so important to her, I was speechless for most of the conversation. You know, I would ask a question here or there, but it was powerful to watch her passion spill out. And, you know, we need more of that. We definitely do. And you're right. Sometimes when we see a pageant, we look at the pretty faces, and for some of us, we don't look beyond that. We don't take time to kind of turn the pages and kind of get into the mind of what they want to be. You know, what are they passionate about? Because there are things there. So I was very excited to have that happen.
Well, I just think it's just a lesson and a reminder. Whatever is your thing, whatever you love to do, whatever's important to you, you can always use that in a positive way to make a difference. And it doesn't have to be with, you know, people who are underprivileged or homeless, you know, or people who are autistic. That's, you know, that's our platform on the show. But, you know, whatever your passion is, you can use that for something positive in the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great to have her on. Now, let's transition to questions of the week. Now, for the past maybe 3 weeks, I think, Tony, we hadn't really gotten to any questions. And, you know, I've tried to post
them. You try to keep on top of those. They've been piling up.
Yes, and I've tried to answer a few on social media, but there are tons, and we're gonna get to about three today that I've read and kind of wanted to share with the listeners today. So let's get going with that. Let's see. Camille from Connecticut wants to know: do you and Tony share the same views on how you advocate, and is it okay to be different and still be effective? Good question, Camille. I think we share the same. I mean, I don't see it as different. I think for me, I try to learn more from you, Tony, because there's a side that I'm very learning about autism and the spectrum and things of that nature. So I try to listen as much as I can, but I think our views are spot on. What would you say about that?
I think on the important things, we are very, very closely aligned. And I would say that, you know, our personalities and our approaches might be a little different, but I see some real key similarities in how we approach things. And one of those things is that you, and one of the reasons I like you as an advocate is you're not judgmental, you're open-minded, you ask questions, and so you're not making preconceived decisions about how things are. You're going to listen to a person and take what they have to say into consideration. And I think that's a really important feature of an advocate. If you go in there thinking you know everything and you know what's best for people, it's going to fly very well. And I've been doing autism for 30-some years now, and I still don't know everything. And I certainly don't know as much about any individual or any family as they do. So I think that's a really important thing, and that's one way where we're very closely aligned, is making sure that we know we're not experts. You know, that person
absolutely
that we need to advocate for is the expert. And
absolutely.
I think that's really the fundamental key important thing that where we're, you know, really similar. Christine is see the able, not the label. I think we're in line with that as well. I think that's, you know, our underlying philosophy. So, but go ahead.
Absolutely. No, I was going to say, and it's okay to be different, right? As you said, like we approach it from a different aspect, but we're still on the same page. You know, we're not so far off that we question maybe what's really
against each other or undermining.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing, is are we all on the same team? And that means, do we have the same overarching goal about, you know, what we want for our communities and for our society? And I think on that we're really spot on. And yeah, if
absolutely.
And we can agree to disagree too. I mean, you and I don't really disagree that much on anything. but if we did disagree, I would totally respect that you have, you know, the right to a different opinion or a different approach on something, and, you know, that would be okay too. And those differences make life exciting, and that's important too for social change. You have to have disagreement on some level, you know, to shake things up and get things done.
Totally. And I think that's also vital. You know, it's as
mm-hmm.
long as you can find center. You know, I think sometimes, as you said earlier, you know, you have some folks who they do think they know everything there is to know about autism or homelessness, and you can never get them to come to the middle because they're so set in what they believe, and it becomes difficult. Like, I've had those conversations mm-hmm. with individuals who would tell me that my approach isn't maybe the best approach, and this is what I need to do to change, you know, my ways of maybe thinking or going about my way of advocating. And I've always listened to people with the, in giving their opinions, but I've also said, can we come to center? Like, is there somewhere we can meet where you understand what I'm trying to say, and I understand what you're trying to say, and there's common ground somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there has to be respect there. And, you know, like a lot of times when I'm doing advocacy, my advocacy is often about things that have to take place right here and now. Like I'm working a lot with families to get residential supports in place. And a lot of times families will come to me and say, we need to advocate for policy change. And my thinking is, that's fine. If you want to do that, I'm not going to stand in your way, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But that's not my focus right now. My focus is, what can we do at this moment? And so there's a, you know, I think recognizing that there's a place for different, to do things differently, and see how that all fits together is important too.
Absolutely. Great question by Camille. It was. It really was. Let's go to Justice in Michigan. Justin wants to know, how hard is it to maintain your level of passion for what you do? I've known a few people who do what you do, but they just exhaust themselves to the point of hating what they do now. It's difficult. I'm not going to lie to you and say that, every day is great. There are days where I am burnt out and spent, and I don't know what else to think or what else to do or where else to go. I do have those moments, more so than you'd think. I think, though, that when I interact with a family that we're helping or somebody who just wants to talk, it reignites the passion. If my passion has gotten low because my energy level is low, you know, I'll have that conversation with a family, and then boom, you know, the passion is back. But I do have moments where I get burnt out. But I've never gotten to a point where I hated what I do. I think that's a strong word. Like when you start, you know, maneuvering in that territory, that can be pretty dangerous because then you have to ask yourself, you know, what's your primary focus now? Are you doing it for the right reasons? Are you being safe when you're out there advocating and talking? And are your words now having a different effect as opposed to being positive? Are you now more confrontational about situations? So I look at it like that. What about you? How do you maintain your level of passion?
Yeah, this is so interesting. I feel like my passion is so undying. And I think it's important to make a distinction between what you're passionate about and the systems that we have to work in to kind of achieve what we want in our passion. So I do get disillusioned sometimes with systems. You know, for example, I was telling you guys today about, you know, this young lady who went to an agency who's supposed to be helping people, and they really, you know, were clearly very discriminating against her. Now that kind of gets under my, you know, it's a bee in my bonnet.
Yes.
And so I can get a little bit frustrated with situations like that. But I never grow burnt out or exhausted with the underlying, you know, passion that I have towards, you know, helping people. I live, breathe, think, eat it day in and day out. And I love it. And so, and I wonder too, Eli, if it's the same for you, that you really love, you know, you love the people, you love helping people, but is it maybe you know, maybe it's the same situation with you where, you know, gosh, you know, this is not a just situation or this isn't right. And that's what kind of is easy to bring a person down.
Yeah, and you know, it also, I feel like you have to be careful of the things that you put on your plate. You know, I think, you know, sometimes I can become overwhelmed because I'm golfing, or, you know, I'm so passionate about the radio show and advocating and family. So there are a lot of things that are there, right? And so I have to be mindful as to when do you take that time to kind of reset,
mm-hmm.
because the more you go nonstop without taking a breather, I think that's where some of the passion kind of, you know, it wanes a little bit, at least for me. I have to reevaluate. And that's why, you know, I told you before, I like taking those breaks where it's just, I'm just by myself. I need to kind of recharge and kind of, you know, reset everything, because I'm moving
mm-hmm.
so fast that it sapped their energy. And I never, because
yeah.
I love what I do with a passion, I never want to go at it haphazardly, you know,
mm-hmm.
just doing it just to do it, because then I feel like I'm not having an effect on them or myself,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
I never want to get caught up in those moments.
That's a great point. I think that's really, you know, it's that, you know, being mindful about what, you know, what you're going to focus your energy on. And
mm-hmm.
I will often do that. I'll be like, oh, this person needs help. How much, you know, and I want to help them. How much, you know, can I offer in this situation? And that's a hard thing, you know, when you know there are so many people out there who do need help and support, and you know, it's not up to one person to just fix everything. It's, you know, we're all interrelated, and so I think that's really,
and see, that's
hard to keep in perspective.
Right. And see, Tony, that's the thing that I used to get caught up in advocating.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to make
mm-hmm.
everybody happy. I would try to do it. And I didn't realize on the back end of that, I'm suffering because I'm
mm-hmm.
going, I'm trying to do this. A lot of it's about acceptance and making sure that they're good. I lose sight of,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're advocating. You have to remember, everybody's not going to always agree. So the more you try to force what you're doing on
mm-hmm.
them, it's going to take more energy out of you. So you have to be willing
mm-hmm.
to understand that.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's really one of the important things, is that if we are going to be advocates for other people, we've got to walk the talk in our own lives.
Exactly.
I have got to be as caring for myself as I am for anybody else, because I'm not any good to anybody if I don't do that. And I think that that's a, you know, that's a hard lesson for a lot of caring people, you know, to learn. But it's
absolutely.
Definitely something I know you and I both really, you know, are very mindful of and work on and actually remind each other.
Yeah, we do, exactly, exactly, exactly. That's a good question from Justice. Thank you for that, Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take one more from Casey in Virginia. Casey wants to know, how do you both continue to trust social media with all the negative junk that's on it? Do you ever get scared of meeting someone who is not who they thought you were, or you thought they were? Sorry. I get a lot of emails about this because some fans of the show don't believe that I meet a lot of these folks on social media, but I do. Listen, as I said before, the negative energy is out there. It's there's a platform for that, unfortunately. But I just try never to maneuver in that lane. It's easy to get caught up in it. I think that's part of the problem with the world now. It's so easy to go there that people just get caught up in being negative. Listen, my heart is pretty big and sometimes to a fault, but that's who I've always been. And I've always been open to meeting people and getting to know them. And if I can help, I want to help. I think that's been my calling since I was a kid. I always feel better and do better when I know the person next to me is doing okay. And I've had an impact in some way, no matter how big or small, right? I like to see them do well. It helps me. So, you know, the folks that I do meet on social media, I open my heart. It doesn't take long for me to get burned once or twice, and I kind of learn my lesson. But, you know, I also try not to go there searching for it. I know it's right there in your face, but I really try to stay on message. And I feel like if I can do that, I am going to reach more people, because there are people that are on social media who are reaching out for help, because that's maybe their last means of trying to communicate with advocates that they see that are doing good work. So I try to use it for that. So I never really get scared. I really don't, because I feel like everybody that I've met, they brought something to my life that I've needed, and I valued that. So, Tony, what about you? And I know you, Tony. You're kind of like me in a sense. You know, I do take breaks from social media.
Yeah.
I know you're a big proponent of that.
Yeah, that's my big thing. I do take the breaks. I will say this: I have met some of my dearest friends on social media, people that I, you know, if it wasn't for social media, I would have never met these people. And if, you know, social media allows people to do that, you know, you and I met, and we're very, very, you know, close. We're good friends now. And that only thanks to social media. We would not be having a show together today. We would not know each other. We would not have a friendship if it wasn't for social media. So it can,
right,
and though it can endure, and that's really important for, you know, for people who are different, folks on the autism spectrum. It's really opened opportunities for people who maybe can't find their niche in their own community where they live because they are different and they don't feel like people where they're at relate to them. So it's very important in that regard. I have met people on social media who have not been what they said they were. And
right.
I'm like you, I'm very trusting and very open. But I will say that the lesson I've learned from that is a person's words and actions need to match. And when,
yeah,
when they don't, when there's an inconsistency there, then you know you've met somebody who's not who they say they are. So,
absolutely.
You know, I know that your words and your actions match. You're there when I need you. You're consistent. You're reliable. You don't say something and then go and do another thing. And that's, I think, one of the litmus tests for knowing if you've, you know, you found somebody genuine and somebody that you can count on in social media.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Casey, for that question. And folks, continue to send your questions in. We're going to try to get to as many as we possibly can. Maybe we'll do a show here coming up very soon with just questions. Our guest list, I will say, is growing, Tony. I think we're going to be covered for the next four or five shows, and
great.
I'm excited about that. And I'm hoping now, this isn't set in stone, but I'm hoping that next week we can get Elvin Gladney on. Elvin is a young man who's on the spectrum that I am mentoring right now.
He's ready, you think?
I think so. When I mentioned it to him, he was super excited. And he's a bright young man, and I would love to have him on the show. So fingers crossed on that. And if not, I do have other guests who are lined up ready to go. So we'll keep you informed. Absolutely. So with that being said, what are your plans for the rest of the week and the weekend?
Well, I'm going to be working on this company launch that I can tell you about. And I've been getting geared up. I leave to go back to Charleston on Thursday. So be wrapping things up here in Wyoming and then just settling in back at home over the weekend and hopefully be able to take it a little bit easy on the weekend and recoup from the travel.
There you go.
So what about you?
Well, as practice continues to ramp up, I have a busy month here, and it just continues to get busier the rest of the season. So I'll again continue to kind of recover, heal a little bit, and then tomorrow rest of the week it'll be practice. I have some practice rounds set up and for my tournament next week. So busy as always. And then I'll be recruiting for my charity event, try to get people out there to play and have a good time and help us give back to the community. So that's
you
it.
I have a question about that, just really quickly. Can you gear myself and the audience, listeners out there, what can we be thinking about or doing right now, you know, before the event, you know, to support you? What can we do right now to be gearing up with you?
Well, that's a great question. You could, you know, get out in the community and let people know what we're all about. If they would like to donate, that'd be great. I think for me, the most important thing I would like to see, even if you can't play or you can't donate, I try to encourage folks to get out in the community and learn more about homelessness, families who have kids on the spectrum, underprivileged youth. That helps the tournament to me. I feel that energy. So I would say, you know, continue to get out in the community and do the good work that you're doing. And if you're on the fence about being an advocate and helping families or meeting families, I would say, you know, give it a shot. You know, there's nothing bad that could come from it. If anything, you educate yourself on what's going on around you. So I would say that.
Okay, so I heard three things. You can spread the word if you're able and willing to go ahead and do the donations, so people could donate now.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so do the donations. And just basically get out there and do your part to contribute to your own community. That's great.
Yes, absolutely. Good question, Tony. Very nice. Very nice. Well, thank you all for listening to the show. I would like to thank Christina Beard, Miss River City, for taking the time to be on with Tony and I. Tony and I really appreciate the support and love that we get each and every week. Get out in the community and make someone or something better. I can't stress that enough. You do have the energy to have an impact on somebody. Make it happen. It's really easy. Until next week, take care. God bless. You have been listening to The Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.